Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about what's the right way to love someone. We don't necessarily know how to do it properly. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, on our previous show, we talked about the relations between parents and children, and we said that love is something that you have to learn how to give properly. Not to all the time be in giving mode, but also know how to limit it. It's really important to understand that these are the forces of nature operating in us, and it's important for us to study them in order not to get the adverse response to the one we want. And today, we'd like to understand also how it works between couples, spouses. We see that many times we're perplexed, we really want love, good relations, but it doesn't always turn out that way. And many times we see that people that actually really love their partner and always give and care and want the best for the other are scorned in return, being taken for granted, that as if their spouse no longer really appreciates what they're doing for them. And I saw there are many stories about this on the internet, and we'd like to hear from you. How can we smarten up as spouses? How can I reach a state where my spouse will appreciate me, won't take me for granted? How to love my spouse correctly so it will be mutual? What can I tell you? In this respect, I myself, I had a hard life because I started studying Kabbalah only at the age of 30-something and on. I was already married with a child. And until I learned and discovered, until I discovered the entire method, of course I couldn't. I didn't have the chance to realize it on myself and my family and to educate my kids accordingly. But now I can say that we are truly in a state where the method is present, ready for use, and there are people acquiring it, using it, and there's work to be done here. What can I say? How do we approach this? I don't think that it's possible to do this easily. Of course, I'll be happy to see that one of my students is writing a manual's guide for parents, for couples, for parents and children, or children and parents where the children are no longer small, and the relations between relatives in general, between the families of relatives, between the citizens of a certain country and the country itself, among the whole of humanity in general. Of course, these are things that we have to write with exercises, with principles. Yeah. And of course, there are general lines to it that everyone has to know. It speaks of our nature, about how our nature works, even though that it seems to us that these are feelings and there's nothing about them. And every psychologist, pardon me for saying this to you, but he thinks that he discovered something new that was never revealed before, and then they can as if come with these facts to the broad public and start confusing them. Everyone's allowed to do it because psychology isn't a science. It doesn't even have a clear statistics, and so on and so forth. So therefore, there's a problem here. Until we disclose the Kabbalistic education, at least a bit, we won't be able to teach this to a person. And furthermore, I saw many psychologists and also psychiatrists that they themselves are even worse off than their patients. And with this education that we're talking about, this is impossible. A person really has to be, as it says, you don't have to be a triangle if you're dealing with math, but here you have to be a Kabbalist, somewhat, if you want to improve the relations between people in the right way. And what does it mean to be a Kabbalist? It means that you have to know about human nature. You have to know how do we keep our nature within limits, something that we didn't get from nature instinctively like animals do. So instead of what animals have, we have to do it ourselves. And then as a result of adding to our instincts of hatred and love, we add the limits ourselves. I can even invert the hatred to love. I can be above these natural urges and use them correctly in order to connect to other people. And this is actually the purpose of the wisdom of Kabbalah, to connect between us up to the point of love. But for this, a person has to see himself working within limits, controlling himself. Here he has to know that he has no such abilities, but he has to know how to get from nature the force which will correctly control him, manage him. That's called the reforming light. And when we advance this way in our treatment, where first of all, everyone has to correct himself, and to the extent to which each of us corrects himself, we build the right attitude towards others. And then, when two people, that each one of them is treating himself, are starting to correctly connect between them, they have a goal, and they look at themselves, suppose, not instinctively, however it is, however it happens, but every time they have the right direction of the development of their relations, meaning the right direction of the individual development and their mutual relations. And then they start feeling between them that there is really a connection that's forming, which is above our nature. And this connection is called a spiritual connection. Why? Because they will discover that they have differences in opinion up to hatred. And it doesn't matter that previously they loved each other. It's in order for them to increase the ties of love between them. How do you define a connection of love? I define it very simply. Make your desire as the desire of the other. What do you mean? If our nature is our desire, and the most important urge is self-love, the most important impulse that is expressed in my fulfillment of my desire, that's what I want every moment. That's what I do. And part of my actions, I do it instinctively. Look how I'm sitting, how I'm talking, how I pose myself. It's also, I fulfill myself as much as possible in the most comfortable, convenient way. And so I have to learn How do I change myself in order to connect with the other in the right way? Meaning, how do I restrain my ego? And how do I elevate myself to a neutral degree with respect to others, that is independent of my urges, my tastes, that I will feel the other as the other is? What does the other want? What is he thinking? What is he drawn to? What does he enjoy? What makes him suffer? When I learn that from the other, when I look at the other this way and learn this from them, then now I can change myself in order to provide the other with what he is expecting to receive. And that's called make your desire as his, that I use my desire to serve the desire of the other. That's called to love. The question we started with is, we see from life that when a person only pleases the other and serves him, he ends up being scorned and taken for granted. Wait a second. Therefore, I'm saying that there is an entire wisdom to it. I'm not simply doing it like two teenagers in the first few days of their acquaintance and then it ends. What's the difference? The difference is vast. We learn how do we connect with each other in order to give each other limits. That I show my love in a conditional way, not limitlessly. Why? Because by nature, I'm an egoist. So I give up my ego in order to treat the other nicely, not because I fulfill my ego, suppose my sexual urges and so on. No, I give up my ego, I concede it, and then as a result of conceding my ego, I relate to my spouse, suppose. And my spouse does the same towards me. Meaning, when we connect, each connects out of conceding his own ego in order to fulfill the other. And then this is how we connect. Meaning, by conceding the ego, which are the crimes, love covers, meaning that we connect. Meaning that our love is revealed in the vessel of our ego, but that we have corrected our ego under a restriction and in a good attitude towards the other and only. So what's the difference between that and unconditional love? An unconditional love, utter love, I relate to the other in an animalistic way. And here I build the love through an inner effort. I'm not relating to the other in a way that I have, suppose, attraction towards that other person, sexual attraction or social attraction, I like that person or whatever. This has to be, meaning there can't be rejection between a man and a woman. Everything but rejection. All the rest, if there's no bodily, corporeal, animalistic rejection, all the rest we build above that by each conceding his own ego. Previously, you described a process that a person does with himself. He gives up different things inside himself and instead of that builds a new attitude of relation towards others. Yeah, it's not the other. To the spouse. Yeah, it's not the same. Okay, now my question is, suppose a person understood some of what you said, he realized it. No, for this he has to study with us. And no, I understand that these are complicated things, but let's advance. Suppose I succeeded, Tal is my spouse, and I'm trying to realize all these things with respect to her. If I understand correctly, my attitude towards her will be now considered as an attitude of love. So till now we talked about how should I arrange myself in a special attitude called love towards her. Now let's put myself aside. suppose I succeeded. Now let's take her, the side that is receiving this kind of attitude. She's experiencing this kind of attitude from me. How to make it so that I won't get a negative feedback as a result of my attitude? You're not coming with your entire attitude of love. Your love in this respect is pretty limited to the extent to which you can love her against your own ego. From my perspective, yes. And she understands it. She understands that this is the way you did it above your own ego. Therefore, your love can be eternal. And then she understands that she has to treat you the same way. How do I make her understand that this is what I'm asking? She has to come to our lessons. And suppose she's not that good of a student. So you'll teach her a bit more. Good, so that's what I want to understand. How do I teach her a bit more? By setting an example. Okay, so I give her an example of love. How do I make sure that I don't get a negative feedback? Limited love. Okay, what is limited love? Limited love is a love that you show her through a screen and reflected light. Masach en ol chozer in Hebrew. This I don't understand. Again, what is limited? Limited love, that you make a restriction over your ego, in Hebrew, tzimtzum. You don't want to treat her in a natural, animalistic way, the way your urges are pushing you to behave towards her. But you want to build an attitude towards her which is above your own ego. Above your ego. That's called love. Otherwise, it's not love. It's a sexual urge or habit. This I understood. This is how I relate to her. But to me, it still feels like love that I might scorn in time or... Wait a second. We're talking about how it comes from him, that he treats you the way he decides, to which extent can he and can't he, in order to connect to you. When he connects to you this way, he feels how you receive his love, his attitude. Do you understand what he's doing in order to connect to you? Are you acting in response, in accordance with what he's doing? And if it really comes as the right response, then you merit to connect between yourselves. And if not, then he always has a balanced attitude between his intellect and his feelings. And he sees where should he diminish his attitude towards you, where to increase it, in order to get the right response from you, which is for your own benefit. His love necessitates him to behave this way towards you in order for you to develop this kind of love towards him. Okay, so suppose I didn't internalize this lesson that Owen already did, and he sees that I'm, so to speak, falling behind. Then he teaches you. He won't treat me with utter love. No, what utter love? On his behalf, there is no utter love. Utter love comes at the final correction, where it is possible to express all the love, but it too has limits. Only that the limits have extended, broadened to endlessness. How does he decide what is the limit? He has to feel you in order not to cause you harm with his utter love. He, in his attitude towards you, passes on to you both the good and the bad forces, both the love and also the limit. What harm can he cause? No harm. He teaches you in order for you to feel how much he loves you under such and such conditions. Under which conditions does he love me and under which doesn't he? That if he doesn't get the right kind of balanced attitude from you, he will have to change his attitude towards you. He is expecting for you to treat him the way he treats you. And don't think that by this you are destroying the feelings of love. On the contrary. Like we see that people that love each other, sometimes like pricking each other a bit, arguing, shouting, be crossed a bit. It's because there are no limits. They don't know what to do. They don't understand that in love there has to be a very clear limitation, and it changes every time accordingly. No one teaches it, and no one in the world knows it. But here, you can all the time control your relations. And then, in this kind of attitude, you discover the upper force of love, which is immersed in nature and is revealed between you. What do you mean that there has to be a limitation to love? What is the essence of this limitation that we have to make? If you exert limitless love towards her, that's called an animalistic attitude. On the animalistic level, still vegetative, animate, out of your own nature. If you limit yourself and you treat her in a balanced attitude, which is balanced between your intellect and your feelings, above your own feelings, by the mind with which you balance your feelings, and you connect to her in a way that you also cause her to exert this kind of attitude towards you, then this attitude is truly the attitude of a human being and not of an animal, not on the animalistic level, because you create the limits and you're producing something called love that doesn't simply so exist in our nature, by which you will be like the Creator. Previously, you said that through the right attitude of love towards each other, I pass on to her both the positive and negative forces. As if, both forces. What are these two forces? Because the negative force is the force of limitation. It's the negative force. Give it to a child. See how much he doesn't want it. He wants for the entire world to be open for him. You're saying, no, this much, and no further. And what does he say then? Dad's bad. So again, what are these two forces that I convey? These two reins, love on the one hand and limitation on the other hand. Let's call it hatred and love. And you don't have to be afraid of the child thinking that mom's bad or something. No. You have to educate him. There has to be hatred. What is hatred? If I love myself, I hate the other to that extent. If I hate myself to that extent, I can love the other. That's how it is. There's no in-between. Can you give me an example? Because I have to concede, give myself up in order to satisfy the other. If I do it out of the corporeal urges that corporeal love necessitates me to, then I do it only in order to satisfy my own love. By that I fulfill myself, and the moment that my hormonal charge towards the other comes to an end, I stop. The love disappears. Okay, and a higher kind of love? A higher love is that it doesn't depend on my corporeal animalistic nature. Right, and then in it, I have to convey a positive and negative force. What is the positive and what is the negative? These two forces are above my control over my will to enjoy. Above meaning after I'm in control of my desire. Yes. Okay, suppose I succeed. Now, what is the positive and negative forces that I convey? That I take her desire, and I'm working with her desire in order to fulfill it. That's the positive. And what's the negative? The negative is the extent to which I'm capable of doing it, where I'm incapable of completely conceding myself, and also I get her response in return. How will she feel? How will she respond? There is a very special relationship here. It's like between us and the Creator. We learn this, man and woman, divinity between them. We learn this with respect to our attitude, to our higher degree. When I examine her response to my attitude, what am I looking for? What's the examination? That the result has to be that you become one. Become one. Meaning that the desire is one. One feeling. One mind. One everything. Only the bodies, there are two. But on the inside, you really unite that much that it's impossible to differentiate the two of you. We're your partners in the meantime. And at the final correction, it means that you complete correcting yourselves and you will reach a perfect completion. And if I don't get that response from her, leave her. Or educate. Okay, suppose we want to work on our connection. So work together on the connection. Until you reach a state where you internally will truly become as one, and then you'll stop feeling that there are bodies. You will live only between yourselves, inside yourselves, in a mutual feeling. And the bodies will disappear, this entire world will disappear. This limitlessness is really something hard to grasp, okay? See the ability a person has by having control over the hatred and love to reach a spiritual degree higher than this world. Good luck. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. We'll love to talk about this some more. Thank you, Tal. Thanks for being with us. All the best.